and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon from lead pastor Jamie Miller.
I don't really have an introduction, so let's just stand up and read the word together. How's that? Yeah, Lord, just make us hungry for your word today. Stir us up. Help us to get to the main thing with clarity in our hearts. Help us to dial in. Holy Spirit, lead us as we read the word. So then just, this is Colossians 2, 5 through 15, through 6 through 15. So then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision performed not by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions, in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the word of God, and we say, amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Amen. Amen. So, one of the things we've been saying in the series is like the context is really huge. So, just the way Paul's writing into this Colossians situation where there's some disunity going on. We don't know everything. We know a little bit. There's some different philosophies that are happening. Probably some the Judaizers have gotten to Colossae. You see some of that in this section and in the next section that we're going to be looking at. Colossae's not that far from Galatia. So some of the stuff that Paul was dealing with in the Galatian church is probably going on here as well. Some of the Jesus plus something else. You got to do some more stuff, be circumcised, keep some special days, those kinds of things. And so last week we looked at the centrality and supremacy of Christ. This week we're looking at the fullness of Christ. Next week we're going to be looking at the reality of Christ. So Paul's answer over and over and over, an answer that cuts through, is Jesus. Amen. He's wanting them to see the supremacy, the lordship of Jesus. And one of the things that's going on here that they're battling is, and he's helping them to see that these different philosophies and things, they're not just different philosophies in and of themselves. There's something behind that. The principalities and powers are in behind these different ways of thinking that draw us away from Jesus. Sincere, pure devotion to Christ. So the principalities and powers. And last week we read that Targum from Colossians 1, 15 through 20. It was written in 2004, and it's important to name what those powers are so that we get awake to them and we're not just sleeping, anesthetized, co-opted, just kind of being led around, whatever the latest thing on my feed says, that's what I'm believing and doing and thinking, but I'm awake, aware. And so we named some of those things, and some of them were kind of 20-year-old things. They need to be updated. I think Microsoft, Disney, AT&T, and we could throw in some more kind of institutional corporate powers like TikTok or social media kinds of things. Those would certainly be up there. Amazon might be, maybe, right? You know, so the powers, it's not just that it's a corporate company, but it gets woven in with our sinfulness, and it becomes a real thing that demands loyalty. It's pretty crazy. This past week, I was at Antioch, Northwest Arkansas in Fayetteville, been on the board of advisors there, kind of a team of advisors, and we help church plants in different parts of the country, and that's part of what I do in addition to doing whatever it is I do here. Believe it or not, you guys, there's actually a lot of stuff going on just in a given week. What do? You just preach a sermon? No, there's actually a lot of stuff, you know. There's people. I remember Brian Regan, he's a comedian, and he said, can you imagine being president? Like, who'd want to do that? Like, every single morning, they're waking you up, sir, people, problems. Think about that sometimes. But anyway, we were up there at Fayetteville, and man, it's encouraging. It's happening, you know. The thing I think about that church plant, they started, their first Sunday service was on January 30th, 2020. Just think about that. You know, you're going off about how hard it was in your church plant. Well, it was really hard in our church plant. It was really hard. And then they can quickly go, well, that's really nothing. Because we started on January 30th, went for 5 weeks, and then shut down with whatever that happened that year. Must not be named. Wow. So, you know, toward the end, though, we were together and just had a great time. And they were, as was with their leadership team, and they were asking some questions. And one of the questions was kind of a pointed question about things that are going on in the world right now, kind of volatility, that kind of stuff. And it had kind of an end times feel to the question. And so, you know, somebody said one thing, and they said, well, Jamie, what do you think? And I'm steeped in Colossians right now. Steeped in Colossians, you know. And so, you know, I started talking about Jesus and the weight of the presence of God came into the room like it does. And it was like, that really is the answer for all of the different scenarios that are going on in the world. And we don't get sucked into a principality scheme to kill other people because we're under the reign of Jesus. And I know it's not practical. I said, well, that's not practical. It's not practical. But it's the kingdom of God. It doesn't make sense to our minds, and it doesn't make sense when we're functioning within the structure and the systems of principalities and powers, but praise God, Jesus has won the victory over the principalities and the powers and the philosophies that are being talked about literally in this passage. Paul's answer, I think, should be our answer. When we're confused about what, I don't know how to navigate through all this. I don't either. But I know that in him is the fullness of God. In him is the fullness of deity in a body, the incarnation. And Jesus Christ is the answer. We must keep our eyes on him. And there's so many different ways we get subverted by the powers. Co-opted is a good word, just anesthetized, deadened. Losing our imaginations get dried up. We lose the ability to think the beautiful, relational, creative, wonderful thoughts that God has for us as his people. And so that's, you know the principality's winning when that's happening. And it could be, you know, all kinds of stuff. It could be literally social media or different agendas. I'm going to say some things about this politics, especially in this season that we're coming into. I read a great article. I think it was Micah sent it. It was on the powers and the ways we get subverted by the powers. And this guy, J.R. Woodward, was looking at the work and the life of William Stringfellow, who was this guy who lived from about 25 to 85, something like that. But he did a law degree at Harvard. And then instead of going to practice in Manhattan, he went into Harlem, where he served the poor and represented prostitutes and all these different things. And he said he understood the powers and the principalities when he got into that kind of environment. How strong, how overwhelmingly strong these different powers are. And I'm going to just mention three principalities right now. One is image. So image, and just think how Jesus is the answer to this problem of image. So I've got an image, you see me right now, but then there's something deeper that gets at work when it's an image of who I am. He gives the illustration of Marilyn Monroe. This was back in the 60s when he wrote this. So Marilyn Monroe, right? You can see her, but then her image is like something alive in and of itself, right? It still lives on. That image, the power, the principality behind that lives on. Isn't that wild? So that, you know, if we buy into that, we end up serving this view of ourselves that may not even be right or true. And it turns into like an idol almost, right? That's how idolatry happens. Not just with images, but it could be the same with institutions. You know, corporate, political, you know, even the church could be an institution that could co-opt us if Jesus isn't being proclaimed. If it's not about Jesus and his life and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, receiving the Father's love, then this thing, you know, this institution gets co-opted. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, and the same thing is true with corporations and things. They're institutions that they do kind of demand loyalty. That we, you know, kind of serve this thing. You know, it's insidious in a way. I mean, we do Prime because it's free shopping. But then we kind of get pulled more into that, you know, and other companies are falling by the wayside. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so, Lord, help us. Ideologies. And ideologies are, it's more of the principalities. It really is. And ideologies, what they do over time is they demand that this view is, it's not just neutral. It actually demands that you think that way. Just think, this stuff's going on at work around us all the time. And so some of the obvious ones, you know, there are isms. That's what a lot of ideologies are, like communism. Well, you know, we know the pros or cons of that, or racism. Maybe we know it, maybe we don't, but it's a power. It's a principality that's at work around us. And it wants to be worshipped, seems too strong, but you buy into the ideology. Racism, nationalism, you know, and it just helps to say it so that you get awake to the power of it and say, all right, I've got to realign to Jesus. And, you know, maybe some of those are more obvious, you know, the less obvious ones actually make it harder. Humanism. Just, we're rising up. We're getting better and better. You know, humanism. I had written a couple down. I can find it. Lord, help me. I can hear Kim right now. You're frowning at it. You're frowning at it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The phone thing. She's like, make it bigger. I'm like, no, there's some pride or something. It's already bigger than my friends, and I don't want to do the three words a line. And I want you to know that I love you. And oh man, sorry, Lord. But other ones though that are hard for us to see, capitalism. Just, it's an economic way of doing things, but it's an ism. Rationalism. You know, rationalism is a good one too, because you don't think that just thinking clearly is going to be something that's going to co-opt you or get you snookered over here. But rationalism puts us in our thinking above God and His thinking. It's the fall, you know, right? So just some things to be processing there. Image, institution, ideologies. And so here's the main thing I'm trying to say this morning as we go through this passage. To stay centered in Christ, the fullness of God, who is bringing us into fullness and His victory together as God's people, as God's people. So let's just do this by paragraph. We'll go through these paragraphs, and each one's got a point. The first one is live in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. I read it in the message this morning. It said, live Him. Live Him. Rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So, you know, I can't dictate, we can't like make each other do what, or even know what it's going to look like, but this is the call for all of us, is to live our lives in Him, to be rooted, so living in Him, for me, part of that's going to be some practices, getting up to spend time with Him, trying to practice His presence through the day, trying to abide in Christ. It's like, abide's probably the goal of life for me in a lot of ways. It's just like, apart from Him, you can do nothing, abiding in Him. So it kind of cuts through, like, live in Him, something like that. Rooted, having a rooted, I'm imagining my legs going down and spreading out, and rooted and established in Him. So that's like a secret history with Jesus that nobody knows about. Spending time, having fellowship, learning to repent, learning to realign and get our lives calibrated to the Lord. So rooted and established. These are discipleship. It's discipleship language. Rooted and established. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And overflowing with thankfulness. Like our words, our accent, what comes out of our mouth, hopefully by the Spirit more and more, but it's flavored by thanksgiving. Yes. I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful. We get to do, I was just standing over there a second ago, Lord, I'm just so thankful I get to do this. Like, we get to be brothers and sisters, and we get to be the church together under the headship of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we can't do everything, but we can take steps forward. We can grow. We can order our lives just more and more by turning to the Lord. What are the habits and practices that keep us, moving that way? One of the things really fresh for us, and just be released to, like, what's fresh? Like, ask each other. That'll change a conversation and make it deep and meaningful just by, hey, what's fresh for you in your time with the Lord? One thing that's fresh for us is at the end of the day, we've been doing the Lectio 365. It means bringing the phone close. I normally keep it in the kitchen, but lately I've been bringing it in so we could do the Lectio 365. It's the end of the day. And that kind of got a cool British accent, Pete Grieg. And so Lectio 365. And we're in a Lent deal, and it's just, you know, sometimes I'll make it, you know, one time. Sometimes I go two times through and I fall asleep. Isn't that great? Just do it again until you fall asleep. That's just real practical. Okay, so live life in Christ together with brothers and sisters. Second paragraph, watch out for deception. Verse 8, see to it, watch out, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental forces, spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. So So we're watching out for deception, for philosophies that aren't grounded and centered in Christ. Philosophy, tradition, religion, you know, just going through the motions, doing stuff, religious external stuff that misses the heart of connection to Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be taken captive by philosophy? And we were talking about this the other day. It's a great question, and it's when you no longer have the freedom to think clearly about different options. So I've been taken captive when I can't, you know, Paul could consider different people's opinions and different thoughts and things, but if I can't consider those things rationally, then I've probably been taken captive by a philosophy. You know, this is important for this year, isn't it? It's important for us to, Paul's free to think broadly. It means being self-aware, being open to listen and open to think about things outside of the algorithm that's presented to me. What does it mean to come into fullness? And that's, you guys, that's what Jesus does for us. He shows us what fullness looks like. He shows us what it looked like to live obedient all the time. Now, we can't, that's part of what's so beautiful about the incarnation is his fullness, is the devotion that he gives to the Father. And so what he's saying here to us is it depends on these other things rather than on Christ. We want to stay dependent in our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just say it simply and with no, I'm not upset, but no one is outside of this struggle. We're all in this together. It's seductive. Our culture is seductive. Different philosophies are seductive. I was in a conversation a couple months ago with somebody who said, like, we got to talking about warning places in Scripture, places where we're warned. This is one of those. This is a warning place. See to it. Watch out. Be on guard. Guard yourself. Don't get sucked into deception that pulls you away from Jesus Christ. Okay? Next paragraph. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. I'll just pause here on that. That is like one of the clearest, most concise clarity statements about the incarnation that there is. Like in Christ, the fullness of God is embodied. The fullness of God is embodied. The fullness of God is embodied in a person. It's just, and we can't let go of that. Like he's still a person. He's still a human. And this is where some of the things we talked about last week that we're fighting against in our culture, where we don't want to remember that, like we want to gnostically make Jesus just up there somewhere, and it's this experience that we have. He is a human, fully God, fully human, and he has assumed our humanity in a way to bring our humanity with him into the wonderful experience of the triune God. And it's just, it's beautiful. I was reading. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Maybe not distracted. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in him, in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is head over every power and authority. Just hear it. He is head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Wow. So there's just so much going on in that. But and one reason baptism is obviously mentioned, but baptism is like code for our inclusion in Christ. So Kim, we talked about this. It was back in COVID sometime, over in the venue before this thing was finished out here. And since then, she's been doing this deal in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Where she's washing her face, not just whatever that was, but she's grabbing water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's good for us to remember the baptism, what God has done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's good for us to remember because, like, I think I'm just guessing here, or you know, trying to read into this. Why does he start talking about circumcision? Because some people are probably saying, "Hey, you need to be circumcised." Yep. No, you don't need to be circumcised. You, it's much better than just this male skin being cut off. You've actually, the whole flesh has been cut off. Your sinful nature, that nature which is opposed to Christ and to the Spirit, has actually been cut off in. And that's what's represented in our baptism. So you don't need to go do this other thing in order to be right and do this religious thing. Jesus has done it. Like, he has done this. In him, you were circumcised, but not by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off. And having been buried with him in baptism. So it's that old self dying, but you're also raised with him. And how many times we're doing this, it's because it's the gospel, it's the good news that Jesus has done this, and we identify with his death and with his life. And it's just this wonderful, beautiful union that we've been brought into. Remember your baptism. You died. And it's like that is the basis of deliverance. I'm just going to say this to you. It's deliverance. To get set free is not just you trying harder. There's an order there of what Jesus has done and how we walk that out. For we know that our old self, Romans 6:6, was crucified when Christ died on the cross. And so now Romans 6:11 is count yourselves dead to sin. So here we are in Lent. There's a counting ourselves dead to sin, but it's based on the fact that we were included. Our humanity was included with Christ on the cross. And this is the basis of dying so that we can now count ourselves dead. You don't count yourselves dead enough. And I'm dead, 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 I'm dead. I achieved deadness. It's not the way it works. So we died with him and now count ourselves dead to sin is a walking it out. But it's based on something powerful and true. The fourth paragraph is remember what God has done. Now, just let's look at the God stuff here. When you were dead in your sins, reflect, pause, Selah. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, it's really, really good news. And I just want to highlight, again, we talk about this a lot, but there are indicative things. It's kind of what I was just saying, the indicative, the true thing that God's done. Indicative, the statement of fact. There's a whole bunch of statements of fact in that last paragraph, right? Boom, God's did this. You were dead. What can you do when you're dead? You're dead. You know, I'd like to do something, but I can't. I'm dead. I'm dead in my sins, uncircumcision of my heart. And so I'm dead. And but that's the statement of fact, but God made you alive. So that's still a statement of fact. And so when I'm coming over here to the imperative, it's like, okay, now put to death. Participate. Be a part of, live into this as well. Because God has done this, now we can do the stuff, count ourselves dead to sin, respond to the Lord. It's the basis of deliverance, and freedom, getting out of addictions, somebody, amen, and just philosophies that take us captive and hinder our devotion to Jesus Christ. And we so don't want to think that's enough. It's so hard for us to, and this is the heart of the gospel, you guys, is the exchange life. It's what Jesus has done on our behalf. You know, there's so many places in Scripture where it's like, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is not for super Christians. That is a statement of reality. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's not Jesus plus something else. It's not Jesus plus I'm right most of the time. It's not Jesus plus just knowing the right techniques of, you know, quiet time or parenting or, you know, whatever the different issues are out there, or Jesus plus reading the right people, or Jesus I've got the most right opinions out there. Lord, have mercy on us as we get sucked in different ways. So what does this look like? Just as I'm wrapping up here, we have to be aware of being seduced by culture. And that's, I kind of said this earlier. That's why we try to name some of these things. You know, there's a power in behind Instagram. You know, they don't know that, you know, it's not like a big accusation here. It's just reality. There's a structure of thinking and there's algorithms involved. And there are powers at work that want to pull us away from the Lord. Even in the midst of a system that can be used for good. But there's also, you know, that I don't have my phone sitting over there, but I mean, that thing can be used for good, you know, and heaven can break in through that, you know, in a way, as a message or something, but hell can break in through that, right? So we've got to wake up to the systems, to the philosophies, to the structures, the powers, the principalities, authorities that are at work around us. And a key power, we touched on this, it's in our spiritual formation. That's interesting because that's basically what I was going to say. This morning is our frantic pace. And it's like a structure. Be as busy as you possibly can, just about all the time. Get identity from being busy and rushing around. And, you know, I'm in this. You know, we're all in this together. Nobody's exempt, from this. And the Lord wants us to wake up. And just where I started, you know, the weight of bringing Jesus into critical questions about what's going to happen, you know, is we're going to look to Jesus. We're going to look to the weight of Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church and who's going to lead us together. Amen. And we push against and are aware of the tendencies to create idols out of image, out of institutions, out of ideologies. And we look to you, Jesus, who is the victor. You know, they wanted to make a spectacle out of Jesus, which is the irony, isn't it? That's the whole thing, a cross. He wasn't even a king enough to be taken back to Rome, but he was killed right there. And yet it's on that cross that he triumphed over the powers and authorities, making a public spectacle of them. And as different as it is for us to just think, really, Jesus? Yes, really, Jesus. He's won the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand up. Amen. So we're going to just respond to the Lord. The ministry team guys are coming up. If you're on the prayer team, come on up. And again, we'll just take a few minutes here. But if you have a need, come and get prayer. If there's any kind of need, come and get prayer. But I do think that this message is, I mean, I need prayer. Lindy needs prayer. Micah needs prayer. Paul Coulter needs prayer. We all need prayer on this, right? We're in this thing together. And because we participate in culture, and Lord, just get in prayer for, Lord, wake me up. Help me to watch out. Help me to see what's going on around me. And maybe it's, you know, this the baptism piece, remembering your baptism. Or if you haven't been baptized, we'll get it set up. We'll get the baptistry up here. We'll do it next week. You know, just, but if you need to be baptized, then let us know. And there are some things about the exchange life, like pray into that. Like, Lord, help me more fully live in the exchange life. Lord, help me more fully live in the wisdom that comes from trusting you over all these other sources that are disconnected from Jesus Christ. So, Lord, just meet us here today that we might live in the victory, the victorious life, and experience the victory that you won over the powers, over the principalities, over the authorities. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against those powers and principalities and authorities. So, Lord, the victory, the way, is it's all here. Lead us forward in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray for each other. Go for it.